We told you earlier this hour about the dire, even disastrous state of funding in the Donald Trump campaign and the candidate's resolve to soldier on. Now, here's a little bit of fun. Enemies. We found this from some lovely singers called the Freedom Kids in Florida, who wrote a little song for Donald Trump.
President Donald Trump knows how to make America great. Do from strength or get crushed every time.
It's a disastrous, if earnest, little jingle for the Trump campaign. Didn't hurt the candidate in Florida earlier this year. But in general, it asks the question, do jingles work? I mean, do they actually sell their product?
Eyes with me under the Anheuser-Busch.
Was this the world's first jingle? A song recorded by Anheuser-Busch from 1904, a tune heard in thousands of American households years before commercial radio took root. A century later, and the jingle is just fine. Nationwide last year spent close to $300 million marketing the simple Nationwide is on your side and helping Peyton Manning's career. This summer, Coca-Cola will again try to teach the world to sing, only this time with song lyrics printed on the cans. For his latest Between the Liner Notes podcast, Matthew Billy says the jingle has come full circle, and what was old in the ad world is now new. Matthew Billy, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you so much for having me on.
What works about this?
Well, I think you have to remember back then there was no radio, there was no television. So when Anheuser-Busch commissioned this song to be composed, they knew that it was going to be on a shelf in Sears as a nice piece of sheet music for people to walk by and see. So then, you know, if you can get a star like Billy Murray to sing it, you know, then people are going to go into Sears and start looking for the sheet music. It was a kind of business model that we don't really have anymore.
So is that the first jingle, really?
Well, no, I don't know if it's the first jingle. You know, really, if you look at the history of advertising products and music, they've always been wed together. This is an example of a proto-jingle. When this was composed, the term jingle didn't actually even apply to music yet. It was a term that only applied to a type of poetry, you know. And then later in the 30s, that term was then moved into being used for music.
You really studied this. That is a paleo jingle.
Yes.
I guess we would call it a paleo jingle.
This one is special because this is the jingle that kicks off the craze. Before this particular jingle, jingles were not on the radio. There was lots of music with lots of products, but it wasn't like this. You know, Pepsi was not the juggernaut that we know now. They were much smaller than Coke, and they were looking for ways of advertising that were cheap. And the president, Walter Mack, he would try things like skywriting, the name Pepsi in the clouds. So these two composers come in with a portable gramophone, and they play him this jingle that they composed. And he says, I love it. So he buys it from them for $500, right? He owns the rights to the thing, doesn't have to pay them any royalties. And he goes to radio stations to try to get it aired. And the radio stations look at him like, we're not going to do this. You know, CBS says no. NBC says no, it's too short. We don't sell anything that's less than 5 minutes. So finally, Walter Mack finds a radio station in northern New Jersey that is desperate for cash. And they say, fine, we'll sell you anything. And he starts airing it at this one radio station. And Pepsi sales skyrocket in this one station. So he tries more. Next thing you know, CBS and NBC are coming to him, asking him for the jingle.
I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say bananas have to ripen in a certain way. And when they're flecked with brown and have a golden hue, bananas taste the best and are the best for you.
My mother sang this song to me. And this is a jingle that preceded my birth, but certainly hung around for a long time. And we even hear it today.
Yeah, it's still there. If you go to the Chiquita Banana website, it plays as soon as you open the website.
You're most digestible, my friend. Delicious too, from end to end.
But this one is special because it was so popular. It transcended just being an advertisement. I mean, people wanted to own it. They wanted to own the sheet music. It was so popular that Chiquita had to hire an orchestra and extend the song to a full 3 minutes. And, you know, if you go to eBay today, you can still find sheet music for this song.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and
This song is very important because it, other than just being very famous and used in the finale of Mad Men, it also represents the advertising companies recognizing that the youth market and the sound that teenagers were listening to is a great way to advertise a product. And you really don't start to see that until the end of the 60s and the early 70s. And this Coca-Cola jingle called Hilltops is the quintessential example of that.
And it was a battle of the beverages as well. You're a whole new generation. Now, the phrase Pepsi Generation preceded Michael Jackson's use of it in this particular jingle, but it represented a whole big campaign of Pepsi trying to associate itself with a sort of millennial tsunami that, you know, is pre-millennial, but it's all about youth.
Yeah, the term was first used in 1961 for a different jingle, but they adapted it for Michael Jackson. And in the 80s, you have a very interesting trend in advertising music, where instead of composing a brand new song, you adapt a song that people already know and already have affection for.
And then you have hit songs that become jingles like We Are the Champions of
yes.
Queen, and you've got almost a fusion of artists selling products yearning for those hits.
Absolutely.
Is the jingle gone in the way that we know it because of that?
Well, I think it's in a depression. There are still jingles. Like if you remember the Subway jingle, the freecreditreport.com jingle.
Why do you? Oh, now that's in my brain for the rest of the day.
But I think the jingle is going to have a future. And I think the future is going to be internet advertising. And I think what that means is that the jingle is no longer going to have to be 30 seconds to a minute. I think with a YouTube video, it can be a full pop song.
So this is the internet jingle.
Yes. And what's remarkable about it is that it's a full-length song. It sounds exactly like a pop song you would hear on the radio. It has a fully fleshed-out music video, and people have watched this thing 13 million times. And that's willingly. It wasn't force-fed to them like on television. They had to click play.
And what is this selling?
It is a product that you spray into the toilet bowl before you use it, and it has an oil that coats your product and makes it so the odors do not escape.
But again, this would be a jingle of the future, a jingle of today, a jingle of now.
I think so.
Matthew Billy, host of the podcast Between the Liner Notes, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Oh, Matthew, what's your favorite jingle? From Greenville, South Carolina, I still love I'm a Pepper. I sing it in the kitchen to my cat sometimes as I pour a tall glass of Diet Dr. Pepper.
I drink Dr. Pepper, don't you see?
Yes. There we go. 8778 My Take is our number. That's all for today. This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.